May the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God. Well, I imagine that this is a first for all of us, worshiping by telephone. It certainly is for me. We're doing this, as you are all well aware, following the guidelines of our public health officials who have requested that we not meet in person for the next while. And members of the congregation, I want you to know that Session has already had a virtual meeting. And I can tell you that they all did pretty good at it. So here we are worshiping over the telephone, and I suspect maybe some of you are still in your jammies. Now, I don't want to know, but that's another first, I'm sure. We are living in interesting times, aren't we? New phrases come to life, such as social distancing and self-isolating. And both of those are rather easy for my wife and I, because we live out in the country. We're so far out that we don't even bother ordering pizza, because it would be stone cold dead by the time it arrived. On the positive side, I have noticed that when I do take a walk, the folk I meet seem somewhat friendlier. It's good to see that fresh human contact, albeit from 6 to 12 feet, brings a smile these days. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 is a tiny little bug that knows no boundaries. Apparently the virus not only is ignorant of national borders, it doesn't know the color of our skin, the language we speak, the way we worship, our daily work, our cultural values, or the schools we attend. It's not a Chinese virus, it's a human virus. And it has really shown us how vulnerable we can be. Any student of history has always known this to be true, even if we don't like to admit it. History records the 6th century Justinian plague, which killed perhaps half the European population at that time. The Black Death in the 14th century, smallpox, 1918 influenza, HIV, which has affected somewhere between 32 and 75 million people, SARS, H1N1, the list is frightening. Writers of the Old Testament also knew of difficult times. Plagues were quite frequent, as were famines, devastating wars. They all took their toll in even more filled ways than we can imagine. Back then, there were no antibiotics, no painkillers, no ventilators, nor well-trained medical people to offer assistance and aid. Then, as today, when these events came along, life changed. Routines turned upside down. Tasks were forced to be done differently. As I was rereading the 42nd Psalm, which Janet just read for us, reminded me a little of our day. The psalmist was in a period of troubled society issues. As he writes, you can almost imagine him aching for the time when he could get back to church, as it were, to the temple, to worship the Lord. He wanted to know those moments again, to be close to God, as a thirsty deer, after running hard, wants to drink from a cool stream. And people were taunting him, or perhaps it was the situation he found himself in that taunted, with the heavy question, "Where is your God?" Remember the days when he was able to go to the temple with others to sing and offer God thanksgiving. But it wasn't possible, as he wrote. He wasn't allowed to go there. Frankly, this new reality depressed him. He was upset, as he reflected when he wrote in the fourth verse, why I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? We live in times that can put us on the verge of asking God where he has gone. Being socially isolated or fearing contracting this virus can be pretty upsetting. And if that doesn't do it for us, well, listening to the news certainly can. Psalmist pauses, and then he comes at things differently. He explores a fresh perspective. He might not be able to go to church, and things might not be going the way he had planned or expected, but he would, and I quote, hope in God. Because I will again give him thanks, my saving presence and my God. The day would come when he could get back to the temple to worship. The day would come again when he would be assured of God's saving presence. And in all of this, hope was key, then as today. For us on, you know, in our day, this great day has come in Jesus Christ, God's ultimate saving presence. And what did Jesus tell us? He told us not to be afraid, nor be anxious. Jesus said that we need not fear our circumstances, nor, if I might infer from what he said, a virus. The only one to be feared is the Lord God. For according to Jesus, the Lord God, who is all-powerful, knows all that is going on. He knows when the common sparrow falls to the ground. He knows how many hairs are on our heads. Task which is a lot easier for him in my case. And according to Jesus, as powerful as God is also like a heavenly Father, knowing us, loving us, and in Christ inviting us to be a part of his eternal family by the power of the Spirit. That is our hope as Christians. And what a profound, life-giving hope it is. For nothing, not even a virus, has the power to take it from us. We shall continue for the next while doing things very differently as we have been counseled to do. But friends, that doesn't rob us of our hope. We belong to the Lord, who loves us now and for all eternity. In that hope, we wait for the time, sooner than later, I pray, when we shall meet together again to sing and pray and share a hug. Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite you to join with me again as we pray. And we're going to pray a little bit of thanks. And then this is a time when we as the church need to pray to our Father in heaven about life circumstances. So we're going to do that. Let's join together in prayer. Wonderful God, sometimes it is easy to give you thanks and at other times not so much. Yet the Bible encourages us to give you thanks at all times and in all situations. We are your thankful people. Thankful for the one who is close to us or who has been helping us. Thankful that we can experience this time together. Thankful for people we love and care for and who love and care for us. Thankful for your blessings that flood into our lives in so many ways, and thankful for the hope your Spirit gives us, that hope that your love is at work, all things work together for the good of those who love you. Heavenly God, this morning, as your people, we want to pray for our world. We pray for frontline medical workers who get up each day to help others in their physical needs. We pray for public health and political leaders who are trying to chart a course in difficult, uncharted waters. We pray for researchers and scientists who are looking for a vaccine, antiviral medicines to help. We pray for clerks who assist us in getting food, personal and household items. We pray for people who show up at work to ensure the flow of goods. We pray for our elders and brothers and sisters in Christ who lead and assist and pray for us and with us. We're thankful for family members, and we pray for them and friends who've been so supportive and caring. We pray for the ill, the recently unemployed, those unable to get back home, those feeling isolated or frightened, and those grieving the untimely loss of a loved one. In particular, we lift up prayers for people in Italy, Spain, and Iran. We also, Lord God, would pray for those who, because of this time, might now begin a spiritual quest leading them back to you. Spirit of the living God, fill us anew, buoying us in hope that we might be empowered to bring hope, faith, and love into our spheres of influence. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who said, when you're together, pray this way. Please join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's been a delight to share this brief moment of worship with you this morning. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All of you live well in the shalom of God. Amen.